Righto. As you've seen, and I hope, heard, and took in Kathy's teaching. But I also want to point out with that teaching that although Kathy was the one God used to present it, he used others in the background. And it's the same with bringing souls into the kingdom of God. It isn't just the evangelist, the pastor, teacher, apostle, or prophet. It is each and every one of us that God uses all to bring his plan to fruition. So we all have our part to play in it. So thank you, Kathy, for your teaching. And before I bring my message, as I'm sure most of us know, Hamas has declared war on Israel, and Israel apparently this morning has responded. But we'll lift Israel up in prayer, as God's word tells us to do. So Heavenly Father, I lift up the nation of Israel and its people. And Lord, I know that you're in charge, and I know that whatever is happening, you're allowing to happen. But I ask, Lord, for your mercy and grace to be upon your nation Israel. I ask, Lord, that you would make this a short war, Lord God, and the one that your people will be victorious. Lord, I know that the nation of Israel is not following you. But as I read your word, I saw that you even give Ahab victory, Lord God, because you were showing him that he was of your people. And Lord, your love is for your people. So I would ask that you would bless your nation with peace. And Lord, I would ask that the circumstances now coming against Israel, that you would use to bring home to them the truth that they need to put their trust in you and what you've done through your son, Jesus, on the cross. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And Heavenly Father, I'd ask that the words that I would bring would be words that would touch the hearts and minds of the people, that it would be the words that you want spoken, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Kathy's message was about bringing new life from a seed, and since most of us would be considered old, and some of us even ancient by the young ones that are here, I want to focus on bringing forth new life from the old. We can see a truth from the Old Testament scriptures in Job 14, 7 to 9. At least there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail. Its roots may grow old in the ground, and its stump die in the soil. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud and put forth shoots like a plant. The scripture doesn't say that the tree that has been cut down will be regenerated or regrow, but it will sprout new shoots, and they will not fail. Now, if you read all of Job chapter 14, he's actually in this referring to his belief in eternal life. That even though he is old and may die or will die, that he will still live again. So although the body may get cut down, grow old and rot in the ground, if it is connected to the root, it will live again in a new way that will never die. And that root is Jesus. In Revelation 22:16, I, Jesus, sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the same scripture from the New Living Testament. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this message for the churches. I am both the source of David and the heir to his throne. I am the bright and morning star. In Romans 11, verses 17 and 18, if some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not consider yourself to be superior to those other branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. And Jesus speaking in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is the source or the root of all life, even the natural life, but more importantly, the spiritual life. I worked for a number of years in a vineyard, and at one time it was decided to cut down the existing vines that weren't producing like they did and replace them with a new variety. So I cut them off at ground level and poisoned them with tordin. and there's the belief, whether it's right or wrong, that you leave it sitting for 3 years before you plant new vines, and this is to stop any of the diseases or whatever had been attached to the old vines regrowing. So all that appears to be growing in the vineyard for those 3 years is weeds. But some of the vines, even though they've been poisoned, would produce a new shoot. So they were cut off again and poisoned again. And yet the following year, another shoot would come up. So they had to be dug up by the root to prevent them from growing again. The life source was in the root. And the life source of the tree and the grapevine is not what can be seen above ground, but the root which is in the ground, which cannot be seen. What is seen above the ground is the evidence of how much good nutrition is being supplied from the root. It doesn't matter if the stump is old and decayed as long as it's still connected to the root. And the same applies to people. There are Christians whose lives appear to be producing no fruit, appear to be dead, or even appear to be producing weeds. But if they are still connected to the root, faith in Jesus, they will not die and can even be brought back to producing fruit again. And what causes this new life? In the case of a tree or a grapevine, it is water. Job 14:9, yet at the scent of water it will bud and put forth shoots like a plant. And for the people, it is the living waters of the Holy Spirit. Both types of waters are supplied by God. How God delivers that water is up to Him. He may deliver it directly through rain, or through the ground that's hidden, or He may allow man to deliver it in containers or through irrigation. In the case of the vineyard, when we planted the new vines, my boss trusted me to water those vines every day till they established and would grow. God may supply His living waters through a direct outpouring of His Holy Spirit, as He did on the day of Pentecost and on many other occasions since. Or He may use vessels out of which rivers of living water shall flow. John 7:38. Where God has allowed man to bring his life-giving waters of the Holy Spirit to the new shoot or the tree that appears to be dead or dying, it is up to man to be faithful in continuing to make sure that they deliver it to either type of tree, the dead tree or the new tree, or the tree that's dying, believing that the new or restored life may be given to a thirsty or dying people. Surveys of most of the congregations of the Christian churches indicate that attendance is declining, and the majority of the older generation. There are many growing churches that claim to be part of the Church of Jesus Christ, but they have little or no obedience to the Word of God. Their focus is on pleasing themselves and not God. Now, this church appears to fit the survey's description of an older and declining church. I think this is where Joy's here, because she's one of the young ones here. one that remembers how the church was in years gone by. Just like in the book of Ezra, when they came back to build the second temple, and the foundations were laid and the old people remembered how things were with the first temple. And they remembered the original temple from 70 years before they were taken into captivity because of their disobedience, and they wept. But the others were shouting for joy at the foundations of the new temple. Ezra chapter 3 verse 12. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundations of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. When the foundations were being laid, there was one people who had come back with the purpose of rebuilding the temple, but there was one people with two visions. There were those that were looking with sorrow to the past and what they had lost because of their disobedience, but the others were looking with joy to the future, where God, through His mercy and grace, would allow them to participate in the rebuilding of the temple. We have three distinct advantages over those people. One, they didn't have the Holy Spirit to help them, but we do. Two, God's presence never dwelt in the second temple, but the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwells in our temple or our bodies. And three, they were building a natural building which required physical strength for hard work, but we are called to build a spiritual building, the Church of Jesus Christ, where the building does not depend on physical strength and it is not hard work if we do it Jesus' way. Jesus speaking in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We are a congregation that is praying for God's increase, especially in young families. We are asking God for souls to be saved, people set free from the captivity of sin. But I wonder, are we being like Gideon when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon to tell him to set his people free? And Gideon's response in Judges 6, verse 13 to 15, "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh and I am the weakest in my family." Gideon remembered all the good things that God had done before and wondered why they weren't happening then. But Gideon had his excuses ready when God told him to go in the strength that he had to deliver his people from captivity. He was told to go in the strength that he had, not in the physical strength that he had, but in the anointing that God had just placed upon him to go and save his people. God has anointed each and every one of us to go and preach the gospel to the lost, to see the captives set free. Are we being like Gideon, wanting to see the lost set free, to see them living in the freedom that God has for them, but wanting God to use someone else to do it? Are we using excuses like, "I am too old, too weak, too sick, too young, too busy," or it's someone else's turn? There is not one of us that's saved that is not able in some way to be active in the building of the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, it's not up to me or anyone else to tell anyone else what they should be doing or how they should be participating in the building of that church. That is between them and God. But I think that those of us who are older or who have health problems often look at what we can no longer do instead of seeking a greater empowerment through the Holy Spirit to do more of what we can do. Most of us may have old and dried up bones, but remember the prophecy that God gave to Ezekiel about the dry bones coming together and forming a great army after the Holy Spirit had breathed upon them. And you'll find that in Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. And the tree stump that produces new shoots, not a shoot, but new shoots, indicating increase as a result of the scent of water. And that's Job 14, verse 9. And instead of looking to the past of what was or to a future of what God might do through others, let us pray that God would stir up our old bones, that he would bring new life out of our decaying stumps, and that we would be obedient in whatever way he chooses to use us in the building of his church. So Heavenly Father, although the message is short, your word is true. And I ask, Lord, for a greater outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us. Lord, that we would not look at what you did, but what you want to do. Lord, we would not look for other people to do it, but that we would be the one that when you ask who will go, that we would say, "Send me." but Lord, most importantly, that we would be going in the direction of your Holy Spirit to see your will done and your name glorified. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.